The Guardian.
Hello, listeners. Hope you're enjoying your summer break as much as I am mine. This is the latest in our series of documentaries that we're calling Football Weekly Presents. This week, it's about a gambling goalkeeper who went from being a bench warmer at Millwall to becoming a cup-winning hero in MLS. Here's Ian McIntosh with the story of Jimmy Nielsen.
Oh. You know, I went to the casino and won a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money. And they didn't have enough money to pay me out. So I had to come back the day after and pick up the money. And, you know, I thought I could walk on the water. And went back into the casino after they gave me all the money. And I pissed a lot of money away that afternoon. And that one bothered me a lot. You know, it's not so much about a soccer game or a hockey game or football game or anything. When I look back, that was the thing that annoyed me most with all my losses.
Jimmy Nielsen was once dubbed the new Peter Schmeichel. Not only did he share the intimidating physique and dazzling blonde hair as his fellow Dane, he also had the same lightning reflexes between the goalposts. He retired at 35, early for a goalkeeper, having captained Sporting Kansas City to the 2013 MLS Championship. In his final game for the club, Jimmy made two saves and the decisive penalty shootout win over Real Salt Lake and rode off into the proverbial sunset.
To keep RSL alive, to deny Kansas City one more time. Can he do it? Palmer! He has it! And the trophy belongs to Kansas City!
But that fairy tale ending wasn't always on the cards for the keeper nicknamed the White Puma. For a large part of his career, Jimmy had a weakness that undermined his undeniable athletic gifts. Jimmy was a gambling addict. It nearly destroyed his career, and it very nearly cost him his life.
Well, I grew up in a city called Aalborg, back in Denmark, with around 125,000 people in the city. You know, I grew up in a middle-class neighborhood. Went out and played soccer all day long. That was the only thing that mattered for me. As soon as I was done with school, everyone went home and did their homework. I went out in the park and played soccer. That was day in and day out, and to me, it was all about soccer. My teacher once had me up on the board in front of the whole class, and I had to write on the board the three things I wanted to do when I grew up. And I wrote professional soccer player, professional soccer player, professional soccer player. You know, it was all I wanted. I was around 12 years old. It was a big tournament in Denmark, and Norwich City came to the tournament, and their goalkeeper got sick. They only brought in one goalkeeper. The coach asked the guys who arranged the tournament, is there any goalkeeper in this city here we can borrow? And I actually ended up participating with Norwich City in that tournament and actually played for 3 years with Norwich City after that. From 12 to 15, then they offered me a pro contract, but my mom wouldn't let me move to England. So I was pretty devastated at that point, but when I turned 17, I got offered a contract from Millwall. I signed that contract and, you know, it was not what I hoped it turned out to, but, you know, it taught me a lot about the game. I just got thrown between the first team, the reserve team, and the youth team. And, you know, I never felt that I had a team that I belonged at. I was the backup for the first team. Then I played on the reserve. Then I was the backup for the reserve, played on the youth team. You know, they just threw me around and moved me around.
when did the gambling begin?
I remember the first time I went to the casino. I had a fake ID and came in there as a 16-year-old kid and just got very attracted to the game. You know, it was a lot of excitement. Your heart is pumping hard. It's like playing a soccer game when that roulette and that little ball is spinning around the roulette. It's super exciting. But you know, when I came to Millwall, I had a lot more money between my hands than I had before, and a lot of free time. You know, we practiced around 9 o'clock in the morning, we're done by 11. Then you had the whole day, and you know, me there alone in England. And you know, when you had the weakness for gambling, you know, I went to the bookies day in and day out and spent a lot of time there, and basically I, you know, pissed my money away. That was the main start of the real start and the hardcore start of my gambling career. And then it just took off from there. For a gambler who likes gambling, you know, Vegas is paradise. And unfortunately, I went a lot to Vegas. You know, I could fly over there, and if we had 2 or 3 days off, I could fly over there with a little bag. And you know, I never saw my hotel room for those hours I was there. You know, I came directly into the casino, sitting at the roulette and blackjack. And next time, you know, I looked at the clock and you're behind with the money, there's no time to go to your room. And, you know, I was basically at the casino the whole time and back to the plane. It was pretty ridiculous time. You know, it was, when I look back, you know, I'm thinking, is that really me? And it feels like I'm, when I talk about it and when I read the book, that I'm reading about someone else, someone crazy.
That book Jimmy's talking about, by the way, is his autobiography, co-written with Football Weekly's Paolo Bandini. And very good it is, too.
You know, there's actually two good stories from that trip. I'll tell you the first one. I went down to the roulette, and I was just keep winning and winning and winning. I won big-time money there. Came back up to the room and surprised her. You know, I threw all the money up in the air like you when you watch a movie. And had a big blast, but you know, those money pretty fast went away from my hands again. And later on that trip, you know, laying in bed, I couldn't sleep. I got the password to the safety from my wife, and I went down to the casino again. And, you know, it was not a pretty trip, and you know, that's one of the stories I'm absolutely not proud of.
And it's around this time that Nielsen was christened Casino Jimmy by his teammates.
Well, I was with the U21 national team. We just played Switzerland, and we had to go to Copenhagen because we had to leave to Italy 2 days later and play them. And he gave us the night off, and we had to be back at the hotel room at 11. Long story short, you know, I came back at 3 a.m. in the morning and went to my room, and a few minutes after, there was knocking on my door, and that was the coach, and asked where the heck I've been. You know, first second I tried to make up a little story, but I realized pretty fast that he had done a little research and knew exactly where I was, and I admitted I'd been at the casino all night, and came back 4 hours later, and he suspended me for the game. And the next day, I think the Danish Soccer Federation did a little mistake with telling the media exactly what I did. And from that day on, I had that nickname.
It wasn't the last time Jimmy's gambling habit would spark headlines. After his unsuccessful spell at Millwall, Jimmy was transferred to Aalborg BK, his hometown team. Jimmy quickly secured a starting spot, and Aalborg won the Danish League in 1999. Everything seemed to be going to plan. But as Jimmy established himself as one of Denmark's top goalkeepers, he started to get paid like one too, And that meant one thing: more money to gamble with, and therefore, more money to lose. He was becoming an addict and heading on a path of self-destruction.
Oh, practice in the morning, back to the computer after practice and do some research, and went to the boogies and went home and waiting for the results and looking at the games, and day in and day out, didn't matter if it was Christmas Eve or New Year or birthdays or whatever, it was day in and day out. Deep inside you knew you had a problem. Absolutely, yes. But you would keep denying and denying and denying, that telling yourself you got everything under control. You tell everyone around you, yep, I got everything under control. Got everything under control. You're not telling them in the exact amounts that you're betting for and all that, you know. Just calm it down all the time. But yes, deep inside you knew that you had a big time issue, but you never admitted that to yourself.
The wake-up call came when Jimmy and another Al Borg teammate racked up a large debt with a local bookie. With neither player able to pay back the money they owed, the bookie was forced to shut down. The story broke in the Danish press, and Jimmy went from hometown hero to disgraced sportsman.
You know, that was a terrible thing to... You know, I could handle it personally, but I think it was a terrible situation to put the family in, you know. Everyone knew who I was in the city, and to see my face on the front page of the papers and in the news about it, all that, you know, it was not funny for them. Absolutely not. When it became public that me and another one were involved in that boogie shutting down, you know, stopped up, and, you know, I went into rehab, and that was a good eye-opener for me, and a good place where you can talk about it and get everything out of your system without hurting anyone, or, you know, you're carrying all those secrets for many, many years. And, you know, it was a big relief to get all that out and talk about it, and without someone sitting in front of you getting hurt. It was painful when you had to tell someone you loved and you cared about and see their faces and their reactions. That was, you know, that of course hurt a little bit. And you don't want to... I never did all this gambling stuff to make anyone sad. Or it was me, individual, who had a big-time issue.
The path that eventually led Jimmy to America was an unlikely one. In 2007, after kicking his gambling addiction, Jimmy decided to leave Denmark. His destination, Leicester City. At the time, struggling in the championship. But, nevertheless, it was a move that provided Jimmy with the chance to redeem himself in English football, having failed to make the grade at Millwall. But things didn't quite turn out that way.
I got signed by a sports director over there, and the manager were not hired yet when I got signed. And when I showed up for preseason, I immediately were told that I did not have a future there, and, you know, kind of disappointed. They paid a lot of money for me, gave me a good salary too, but they wanted me out from day one.
Jimmy never played a single minute of first-team football for the Foxes. After 6 months in the stands and on the sidelines, his contract was terminated by mutual consent. A move back to Denmark with Vegelabold club followed, but that turned sour when the team was relegated from the Danish Superliga. And at this point, Jimmy thought his career was over. And then one day the phone rang.
Hello? Very good, and yourself?
On the other end of the line was Sporting Kansas City coach Peter Vermes. He wanted to know if the veteran goalkeeper would be interested in a move to Major League Soccer. Jimmy was sceptical at first. He didn't know much about MLS, but what he had heard wasn't good. At the time, MLS was seen as a final destination for washed-up foreign players. If he was going to continue playing, Jimmy only wanted to compete at the highest level. But, despite his doubts, he decided to go for it.
They took a chance on me, and I took a chance on them, and I think it ended up being four of the best years in my career and life.
In his first season in Kansas, Jimmy racked up 10 clean sheets. Off the field, the White Puma was also a hit with fans and would often stop to chat with supporters after a match. And in his final two seasons, he'd go from fan favourite to club legend. Let's set the scene. It's the 2012 US Open Cup final. Kansas City versus the Seattle Sounders. The teams are tied after extra time, so the game goes to penalties.
If he loses it, that's going to be the end of playing time. We're going to go to penalties, and that will be it.
And what followed was a tour de force of goalkeeping and amateur psychology. If you watch footage of that shootout, you'll see Jimmy bouncing along the goal line, gesturing wildly at the corner he thinks his opponent's aiming for. The ultimate psych-out, a more intense version of the Grubbelaar or Dudek jelly legs.
I wanted to took into the shooter's head and not focus so much so I could take him out of his comfort zone. You know, we all have our routines, and I wanted to break their routine, so stepped up in front of the ball and told them I knew where he was shooting. I took my shirt up over my head and were yelling and doing all crazy stuff, and you know, it worked. They missed the last three shots, so I must have done something right.
It's all over for Seattle. Here we go. EJ shoots.
Oh,
and
wow.
That is the end of the Seattle Sounders title run. Jim Nielsen gets in the head of Andy Johnson.
The following season, Jimmy got his hands on more silverware. This time, the MLS Cup. The game was once again decided by penalties, with Jimmy repeating his heroics by making two decisive saves. He retired after that match and cemented his legacy. Jimmy Nielsen was the goalkeeper who had it all and came perilously close to losing everything. He definitely didn't hit the heights in England, and he never fulfilled his potential on the international scene. But in America at least, the true home of the comeback kid story, the gambler, had finally hit the jackpot.
You know, everything happened for a reason, and I'm very, very happy for where I am today and having a good life here and good family life in America, living the dream.
You've been listening to The Gambler, the story of Jimmy Nielsen, which was originally broadcast on Howler Radio. It was written and produced by Matthew Nelson and presented by me, Ian McIntosh. Football Weekly Presents is edited by Ben Green for The Guardian. Thanks for listening.